Hi, this is Dane Shoemaker. I'm here with Sheila Turner-Hilliard of From the Top Dance Studio. Thanks for having me today.
Sure. Thanks for having me on the podcast.
Yeah, absolutely. So you are a pillar of the community of Newtown Square, I have to say. You know, dance instructor, business owner, entrepreneur, writer. What else am I missing here? Philanthropist, volunteer.
Sounds about right.
Yeah. So, you know, really just looking to get to know you a little bit more. I mean, we know each other through the Business Association and some of the work around the community, and president of Newtown Square Business Association as well. You know, really just, you know, we're in this space today from the Top Dance Studio. You're celebrating 20 years in Newtown Square, or 10 years in this location, right?
20 in Newtown Square total.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, cool. So yeah, want to hear your story, you know, how you came to be running this place. And I know you had, you know, a past career in real estate and you're a writer. So a lot of really interesting things to kind of unpack today. So,
okay. Yeah. So you ready to unpack it all?
As much as you want to, I guess. So
I don't know. Well, I was born and raised in Newtown Square.
Okay.
So this community is very important to me. And my father was involved with the township as well. So growing up, I kind of had that, you know, him as an example of a hard worker. He was a police officer, so he always had multiple jobs, but he still gave his time to the community as well. So I credit, you know, a lot of my work ethic to my dad. So Newtown Square is very special to me, and I opened the studio 20 years ago in Newtown Square because I grew up dancing here, and my former studio, I grew up with the owner was a former Rockette in New York City.
Oh, wow.
Radio City Music Hall Rockette. And that was really a cool experience. She had a studio, a small studio here in Newtown Square. I grew up dancing with her. Then I started teaching with her. She would bring me up to New York a lot to have like cool experiences working with master choreographers and working with the Rockettes. So it was a really cool experience. And the studio that she ran was very, very warm and welcoming. It wasn't super competitive or cutthroat or anything like that. I got to dance with my friends, even though I was a competitive dancer. It was just a really cool place to grow up. It was a safe space and a great place to kind of get your emotions out as a teenager and really be safe and feel safe. So when did
you start dancing? When was that?
I was three.
Three? Oh, yeah. Wow. So it's been a lifelong.
That's
awesome.
Yeah, I never gave it up. I danced through college and started teaching when I was in college as well.
Okay.
And then took a little break for a while to go into the real world.
Yeah.
And then eventually found my way back. So I opened the studio because I felt like Newtown Square was missing that homegrown type of studio where kids could feel comfortable and connected and safe and be able to express their emotions through dance and also build a positive experience for them so that they could go out into the real world, stand tall, make eye contact, have poise, great posture, be comfortable in front of people, you know, to help develop that person, because I feel like that's the kind of training and that's the kind of skills I received from my dance studio.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's great. I mean, it seems like there's a really strong community around dancing. Obviously, there's, you know, it's very physical. It can be emotional. You know, it's artistic.
Yeah, it's such a healthy outlet, and especially for teens right now.
Yeah.
It is. We have so many girls and boys come through here and express to us that that's how they feel that they can express their emotions, or if they come in really stressed out, we dance it out. If they're happy, we dance. We just love having them here and knowing that we are making a positive impact on their mental health and their physical health.
Yeah, that's great. Mm-hmm. So, and you've been in this office or this studio 10 years. Mm-hmm. Where was your last one at?
My original studio was in the Newtown Square Shopping Center right across the street.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
And then this space opened up, and I knew that this is exactly where I wanted to be, in St. Albans Circle.
Yeah.
Because as I was a kid growing up, I would participate in the St. Albans tree lighting, and our studio would dance in front of the tree. So I knew that this was the ideal spot for us to be so that I could feel connected that way, and that our dancers could also dance at the Christmas tree lighting.
Yeah, and they're still doing it today.
Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think the St. Albans Circle is such a great focal for Newtown Square, and there's a lot of businesses opening up. There's an ice cream shop opening up across the street, so that's exciting.
What's really cool, it's like the one little section where it's still all locally owned businesses. There are no chains back here.
Yeah.
And that's a really cool feeling.
What kind of, so dance programs do you have here? Like, what are some of the classes, you know, different age groups, things like that?
We start at age 2 with a program called Movers and Shakers.
Okay.
So that's like a little intro to dance where they're going to have like fun 45 minutes of learning dancing and learning musicality, learning about rhythm, but in a really fun environment where you can use props and fun songs, things that they're familiar with. So they're learning without really realizing that they're learning at the same time. And then we go into combination classes, which are ballet and tap and jazz. And then after that, we graduate into being able to choose your own class, like a hip hop, lyrical. We have point, ballet, contemporary, modern. So it's really, and tap, all across the board.
Yeah.
And then, so we have a pretty healthy adult program as well. So two through adults. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Wow. What are the adult classes like?
They're fun. I teach on Wednesday nights. I teach an adult, we're going to call it a hip hop class. It's a fitness geared class. And then we have adult tap, and that program's really, really growing.
Yeah.
And those ages go all the way from, we have a couple in their 20s, and then we have some ladies in their 60s.
Awesome.
Yeah, it's just a lot of fun, and the adult tap does participate in the recital. Yeah.
Nice. Where do the recitals happen then?
We have them at Marple Newtown High School.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, right after Memorial Day.
Yeah, cool. Now, do you teach outside of the studio? You know, what are some of those
things that you're involved in? So I do, personally. Like, most of my teaching that I do is with the special needs community in Delaware County. So I have a few groups that come in here that are either bused in here, like the Marple Newtown Life Skills. Students take a bus over here. It's part of their Life Skills program, and they'll dance with me here. And then I have another group out of Edgemont that comes here. Then I will travel to the Haverford Rec Center and work with a group called the Father Bill Atkinson Group. And that's a missionary group. They do awesome things. But then they bring me in every like twice a month to do some dance parties with them, but it's all fun. Special needs community. And then I just started working with Villanova University too, because they have a special needs program.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. So I'm going to start working with them. I went over there last week and we had a blast.
Yeah.
So it's fun. I work with special needs, all different needs.
Okay.
From Down syndrome, autism, traumatic brain injuries, and a host of other syndromes issues or challenges. So it's a wonderful program.
Yeah, I can see how that would really benefit, you know, just getting out and moving. And is that a new program or are you kind of stepping into a new role there? Or
actually, I started doing this probably about 18 years ago. I was approached by the director of the special needs program at the Marple Newtown Life Skills. And she was looking around for programs, for things for her kids to do, and she knew that they really connected with music and movement. So she called me just out of the blue, and I was like, you know what, let's give it a try. I brought my CD player back at the time, you know, with my CDs, my little radio, and plugged it in. I went over to the high school, and we just started kind of experimenting with what inspires these kids to dance, and what music do they like, and how far can I go with them? And, you know, as far as choreography and everything, and this program just exploded. I mean, I made some connections right out of the gate with some of the songs that I had chosen.
Yeah.
And I could just see it in their eyes, and I just felt it, and the teacher felt it. And we were all like, you know what, we got to keep going with this program. So it really just started with that phone call, and here we are, you know, 20 years later, 18 years later, and now I'm with 5 different groups in Delaware County. And the woman who initially called me is now bringing her granddaughter here for dance classes.
Oh, wow.
So it's cool? Very, very rewarding work. It's the best part of my day. And, I often say I need my crew more than they need me, because it's just so fulfilling.
You know, I guess if people are interested in signing up for classes, what does that look like? Is it just kind of a sign up? They can come in, you know.
Our regular semester, regular year runs from September through May. So Right now, we're not accepting any enrollments because it's March.
Right.
But we are gearing up for our summer session. So we have a session that runs September through May, and they are in the recital at the end of May or beginning of June. And then we have summer sessions, so a six-week summer session where it's weekly classes for 6 weeks. That's a really nice opportunity to just try something new or get your feet wet, like if you want to try a different genre or you want to just try dance in general.
Yeah.
And then we also have 6 weeks of summer camp as well.
Okay.
Those you can just sign up online or you can come into the studio. And then for the September through May season, we open up that enrollment in May.
Okay.
For the following year, and it can be online registration or coming in to the studio.
Okay. And the day camps, what is that? Like what age groups? And
They're fun. It's Monday through Friday, ages 4 through 12, boys and girls. Each week is a different theme.
Okay.
So, for instance, this summer we're running some really popular camps like a Barbie camp.
Oh, wow.
And a Taylor Swift camp.
Oh,
those
nice.
Two sold out immediately. And then we have the Olympics are coming this summer, so we have an Olympics camp, and we have a Disney camp. So lots of fun themes where it's dancing and crafts and games, and we have half-day mornings, so 9 to 12 or 9 to 3.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, very cool. Okay.
Yeah.
Is it typically, are people signing up for like 1 week at a time, or are they doing the entire summer?
Based on their vacation schedules, we have a few that are doing all 6 weeks, and then we have more of them are just doing 1 or 2 weeks at a time.
Got it. Okay. Yeah, my son is going into Culbertson next year for kindergarten.
Nice.
So we're trying to figure out, you know, schedules and things like that right now. So, let them maybe see if he's...
Definitely.
Yeah. Anything for the boys? Like,
We have a lot. We have a lot of boys
in
our... like scattered through our classes. We don't have any, like, we have one boys hip hop class, specific boys hip hop class, and that's for ages 7 to 10.
Nice.
Okay. But other than that, we have boys, little ones in the movers and shakers. We have some in our combo classes. So in our tap classes, and then we have the boys hip hop.
Yeah. Cool.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
All right. So I know you're a writer also.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me a little bit about that. You've wrote some publications. You have a book out there. Like, you know, what's that been like?
So I started writing right out of college.
Okay.
I was a speech communications and public relations major, so that kind of lent itself to me writing. And when I started working, I started using my writing skills to write training manuals and, you know, publications like that.
Sure.
And I have written a couple chapters in some women's anthologies books based on my personal life and experiences. And then I wrote my own book during COVID.
Okay.
And then I write for the Newtown Square Friends and Neighbors magazine and the Newtown Edgemont Friends and Neighbors magazine. So those I started writing for 3 years ago. And that really came out of, I was writing articles for the dance studio for the magazine.
Yeah.
And then the publisher approached me and said, would you want to write a little bit more? So now I write a lot more for them.
That's great.
But it's awesome because I get to meet even more people in our community and highlight good things that are happening around town and like some really special things that people are doing around here. And it helps me. I feel like dance is very natural to me. So the writing challenges my brain a little more because I'm learning about, I just did an article on trout fishing and I did one on the sewer authority. I mean,
It kind of forces you into these topics that maybe you're not. Yeah.
That I might not know. And then I've interviewed like this world-renowned sculptor that lives right in Newtown Square. I had no idea. And then I had to learn all about the lost wax process of making a bronze statue.
Really?
So those are really cool perks to writing for the magazines. I feel like I'm challenging my brain. I'm meeting new people. I'm learning a lot of interesting things.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's very rewarding that way.
I feel like that's similar to why we started this podcast. It's just, it's an opportunity to get to know people in your neighborhood that you don't even, you know, like everything about them.
Mm-hmm.
And such inspiring stories about like building a place like this. And, so I guess for the magazine, so like the article, like was it Newtown Square Friends and Neighbors?
Friends and Neighbors, yep.
So the couples that are, the families that are on the cover, mm-hmm. you write those articles, right?
I write those articles.
Cool.
So I get to learn about their stories and then everybody says, oh, I'm so boring. We're so boring. We don't have a story. I'm like, oh, I'll get a story out of you. Don't worry.
Nice.
I will get a story. Because I try to just find some quirky, funny things that they say that they don't realize are points that make their stories interesting. So I like digging a little deeper and getting, you know, a cool story. And then they go to read it and they're like, oh, you made us sound fun. Yeah. Like, wow, this is really cool. So that's cool. And it's also a really neat keepsake for them. A lot of families that I interview and write about have younger children, so they get extra copies and they keep them for their kids for like the future. It's just a cool thing. And then some couples say it's a really neat walk down memory lane to recount, you know, how they met and their whole story. And it's neat for them to go back and think about how special their family is.
Sure. Yeah.
So I write that, and then I write the feature articles about, like, I just wrote about a girl from Willistown who just wrote her own book. So I featured her book. It's like a self-help type of wellness book.
Yeah.
And then, like I said, I write feature stories about trout fishing starting up April 6th. And and now the sewers all got installed with the 537 plan.
That's been a big, big hot topic around town. Yes. Yeah. Very cool. How do you find these stories? Like, are people coming to you and publisher feeding you ideas, or are you kind of coming up with some of the stuff?
It's a good mix.
Yeah.
We get a lot of nominations for stories just based on the magazine. Like, they'll email us or the publisher and say, hey, this is happening or this is happening. And then through the dance studio, I get some good ideas. I know a lot of families that come through here that are doing some neat things. I have some good friends around here that I was like, oh, let me feature you. I want to feature that. Or there's hot topics like the sewer authority that we want to cover and make sure that we educate the public about things that are important to them.
Sure.
The building and the construction and like the restoration of Greer Park. Those things are important, but people may not be able to attend the meetings. So we serve as like a source of information to kind of, you know, get all the facts out.
Yeah.
But the ideas come from various people. Maybe just I'm walking around town, I'm in Rite Aid, and someone approaches me and says, you know, hey, can you do a feature on this? And then...
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Any other future writing projects you have lined up, like outside the magazine or anything else?
I don't know if I can fit anymore into my schedule. I would like to write another book, of course. I would.
Okay.
I did enjoy that. My book, I felt, was a good guidebook. It's a short book. Concise. I would like to write a little bit more about my story in length someday.
Yeah. Yeah. And the book you wrote, what was it about?
Okay. Yeah.
we don't have
to. Oh, yeah, we can talk about it.
Okay.
So the book that I wrote that is on Amazon, I self-published it, is called Suit Up, Show Up, Show Up: A Girlfriend's Guide to Grief. And it's based on my personal experiences when I was younger, I was married, and I had my two kids. My husband at the time had been diagnosed with brain cancer. Yeah. Well, he had a brain tumor, and the doctors managed the brain tumor for a few years. I had my son, had my daughter, and we kind of lived with it and in and out of surgeries and treatments, and my life has kind of not taken a clear, straight path as far as anything.
Yeah.
Raising kids or choice of careers or businesses. And that, you know, honestly was a big reason why I started this business and why I was in real estate previously, because I needed to have a career path that was flexible in case I needed to take him to treatments or I needed to take my kids with me. So my kids grew up, my two older kids grew up going to show houses, going to settlements with me. They were here at the studio with me all the time. So it served me well, my choices. It wasn't where I thought I was going to go with my career.
Yeah.
I thought I was going to go into the corporate world, and I was for a little while, and I loved it, and I traveled, and I did wonderful things. But life sometimes hands you some challenges where you really have to make hard decisions and take your talents and put them in a place where you can survive, like where that can help you and your family survive. So that's sort of the beginning of my story.
Yeah.
So I had the dance studio in 2004. I opened it when my daughter was 15 months old.
Oh, wow.
Because I knew I didn't want to do real estate for the rest of my life. I was good at it. I did very well, but I felt the call like to do something more creative. I wanted to have the studio, and I knew it was another source of income and another source of safety where my kids could be with me if something happened to him. So we built the studio, and it's crazy because I never even thought, you know, as a business owner, you're supposed to have a business plan and you're supposed to have
Sure.
Things all lined up, and I didn't. I was throwing whatever I could against the wall to see if it stuck.
Sure, yeah.
And, but sometimes I knew that's I had the best a talent, way. And I knew my heart was in the right place. I knew that things were. I knew why I was going to open it. It was for my kids, and it was also to give other kids the opportunity to feel safe and protect it, and you know, and have a good experience like I did growing up. So, had the studio, did real estate both for a while, and then in 2010 he passed away when my son was 10 and my daughter was 6. And my experiences during that time were tough. I was young. I was in my 30s. Two young kids. I was the only one I knew around here who had lost a spouse to cancer that young. Yeah. And my kids, they were really only two in their school who had lost their dad. My son was in fifth grade at the time, and my daughter was in first. So we were really kind of doing this on our own. And it was really before social media. It was before all those, you know, you have so many resources around these days.
Right, right.
And none of that existed. So I was really navigating life on my own. And I wrote the book because I wanted to kind of normalize grief. And it's scary for people who haven't been through it because they don't know what to say to somebody. They don't know what to do. Yeah. And for the person who's lost somebody, it's really hard to watch your friends like kind of be uncomfortable around you.
Yeah.
And that's normal. Most people are uncomfortable about grief. They're uncomfortable about talking about death. They don't know what to say to you. They don't know what to say to your kids. They don't know how to act. And a lot of times they just go away.
Yeah.
Or, you know, their lives keep going forward and you're like, now it's crickets, and you're like, where is everybody? But nobody really knows. But when you're in the middle of it, they're like, I'll do anything, just let me know how I can help, and blah. So the book is a guidebook for someone who doesn't know what to say and doesn't know what to do. And it's basically telling them, suit up, meaning just get ready, show up, just show up and shut up. Because a lot of people will say things that they don't mean to say, or they get nervous and say things like someone said to my son, like, oh, you're the man of the house now. And I'm like, are you kidding me?
Yeah,
like, please don't tell a 10-year-old boy that he's the man of the house. And it was innocent, but it wasn't necessary.
In that moment,
Or, oh, at least he's in a better place now. Okay, well, sure, but let's not say that.
Yeah,
you know, like, you say you're sorry, you say it sucks, and that's all you say, basically, and you just show up. And it goes through certain things like roles that you can play.
Yeah.
And I kind of, it's a very blunt book, and it has some humor in there, so I equate it to like the Golden Girls.
Okay.
Like, are you, who are you? Are you the Sophia of the, you know, are you the Blanche who's going to stand there like you're like the bouncer and be like escorting people out of the house that say stupid things? You know, and also things that you can do, like, observe if you go over there to somebody's house, like, don't show up with another tray of a casserole or carbs or something.
Yeah.
Go in with paper towels and toilet paper and paper products, things that they need, like practical things. So it gives you ideas on how to help your friend or your, you know, loved one in practical, helpful ways that will go a lot farther than, you know, a casserole. No offense to casseroles, but there's only so much you can eat. But go and look in their fridge.
Sure.
Go see what their kids eat. Go and go get those things. Or go in and you go to use the restroom. You notice it's a little dirty. Clean it. You know, just very practical things. And also just guides on how to help them through the whole year. As far as like, don't judge. Don't let them do things on their own time. And
yeah.
So I found it, you know, my friends, family have read it. I've have it on Amazon, and it's gotten a lot of positive feedback.
Oh, that's great. I mean, it's an incredibly, you know, difficult time that you went through. And, and, you know, there's probably a lot of knowledge and experience that you can share with others. I mean, it's not uncommon, right?
No. So, and now that I'm older, it's happening to more of my friends and family. And I still get calls from people in the community, like so-and-so lost somebody, so-and-so's husband's sick. So, and I will meet with spouses who've lost their spouse suddenly or over time, and just kind of give them some hope that things, you know, do get better, and just try to help them and be an ear, lend an ear for them.
Sure.
So I think the book really helps with that. And I've since, you know, remarried. I have another daughter now, and we're really still involved in the grief community, and we do a lot of work for a foundation that supports children who are grieving.
Is that right? Okay.
Yeah. It's called Aluna. It's formerly the Moyer Foundation. So Jamie Moyer was a Philadelphia Phillies pitcher in the World Series. He and his wife, Karen, at the time, started these camps, grief camps, for kids, and called Camp Erin.
Yeah, okay.
So when my kids were freshly, you know, he had just passed, and we were seeing a child grief counselor, she had suggested to me, she said, you really need to send these kids to Camp Erin. It's transformative. It's amazing. It's a grief camp. I'm like, I don't want to send my kids to grief camp. Yeah. And they were like, Mom, we don't want to go to grief camp. I'm like, but it's not really grief camp. It's, it is, but it's 2 days of being surrounded by kids who have all lost either a parent or sibling or like a grandparent, somebody very, very close to them. Yeah. And they get the opportunity to bond when they feel like they're the only kid in their school, and they were the only kids in their school. They're now surrounded by, you know, 100 other kids who have gone through similar situations. It didn't matter how they passed, who passed. It was just, they just knew that they've all been through that storm together. They do fun activities. They do grief activities. And it's 2 days. It's free. It's funded by donors. And it was the best thing I could have ever done for my kids.
Sure.
Because I dropped them off. I was heartbroken. They're looking at me like, Mom, I can't believe you're doing this. And I felt terrible all weekend. And then I went to pick them up, and they were literally like hiding from me. Like, don't come find me. I have my friends, and this is awesome. And
oh, that's great.
They've since gone back a couple times, and my daughter just volunteered this past year in Tampa to be a cabin buddy for Camp Erin.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's so they're in every Major League Baseball city,
these camps. Okay, so it's a national thing, yeah.
And then they've also gone to, like, other areas where, like, in Connecticut with the Sandy Hook. So they've opened in other, like, key areas.
Right, right.
So we do a lot of work for them. We continue to raise money for them. And, you know, it was the best thing I could have ever done for my kids. And I told them on the way home, I said, we're going to do everything we can to help. And it's been 14 years.
Yeah.
So we still continue because it's needed. These kids need to be able to feel connected to other kids. My kids still keep in touch with the kids they met at Camp Erin. So it's amazing.
Yeah, that's great. That's great to hear. Yeah. Really inspiring story. You know, obviously there's a lot of advice that you shared around grief management and, you know, what about for, you know, maybe business owners or, you know, any tips or wisdom that you might have for business owners in the area, people that are looking to start a business or anything like that?
You know, I, like I said, I didn't have the typical path to starting a business.
Yeah.
I didn't have it all planned out. I never looked a year or two ahead, and I feel like that kind of served me well in a way. We're coming up on the 20th year. We're coming up on our 20th recital, and to me, it's very, very overwhelming because I think I never thought that far ahead.
Right, right.
So for me, you know, my advice would be make sure your heart's in the right place. Make sure the business that you are opening is led with integrity and you're not just focused on your dollars.
Yeah.
Because yes, that's important. But building in this community is so much more important. I never looked too far ahead. I just led with my heart.
Yeah.
And I knew that it was the right thing for me to do for my family and for other kids in the area. It has come back to, I mean, the rewarding parts of this business is unbelievable. Even when my husband died in 2010, I had no idea that I had built such a community of people around me through the studio that when things got real bad in the late 2009, the community came together and held a fundraiser for my family.
Oh, wow.
And this was before GoFundMe or anything like that. It was a fundraiser on the Ellis Preserve, and they raised $40,000, which was huge at that time.
Wow.
But it it literally kept a roof over our heads. And I never when I started the studio. Never would have thought that that would have happened. And ever since that, it's just been blessing after blessing after blessing. So I would say for business owners, just make sure that you keep focused on what's really important, and that's building a community around you and treating your staff just as equal as you are, you know, like with respect and appreciation, because the team around you is everything. It's not just about you.
Yep. Mm-hmm. That's great advice. Anything else that you like to share, or
I don't know.
What are you doing for the 20th anniversary? You have a rehearsal, special rehearsal coming up?
So we do a show. We'll do our show, our 20th show. It's called Greatest Hits.
Okay.
So we are taking like our favorite songs from the last 19 recitals plugging them in as songs. We're bringing them all back into a Greatest Hits edition.
Nice.
I'm hoping to put together a nice little montage of through the years. We'll see if that actually happens or not. I'm just really excited about celebrating 20 years. Like I said, I'm really overwhelmed with that thought because I never thought that far ahead.
Yeah.
So it's going to be a very emotional one for me, because these big milestones are emotional for me, because going through what I've gone through to get somewhere to a milestone is like, how did that all happen?
Yeah.
I don't know how it happened, because I never planned for any of this to happen.
Right.
So it's going to hit me like a ton of bricks. So I'm not really sure. I'm probably being a mess that day, but in a good way.
Yeah.
You know, proud of myself and my kids and this community and how wonderful it is to live here and be surrounded by such wonderful people. So I'm just looking forward to celebrating.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
When is the date for that? Is that set yet?
June 2nd.
June 2nd.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, congratulations on 20 years.
Thank you.
You know, just, you know, riding so many challenges and overcoming mm-hmm. them, and it's really inspiring. So, you know,
thank you.
You know, thank you for giving back so much to the community as well, just being a big part of Newtown Square. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
It's important to me. It's a wonderful place.
Yep. So, Sheila Turner Hilliard from the Top Dance Studio, thanks for being on here.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for listening today. Shoemaker Lab is an original production by Shoemaker Films, LLC. If you enjoyed today's content, please consider subscribing on YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you get your content. Follow us on Instagram at shoemaker.films. And if you're a business that's either interested in our video production services or would like to be a guest on the show, get in touch by using the contact form on our website, shoemakerfilms.com.